الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، firstly I apologize for coming late. It was not intended at all. And secondly, when I came in, I saw one of our sheikhs. Yesterday we talked at the verse where the Shaykh said that وَنُؤْمِنُ بِأَنَّهُ لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. That we believe that لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ. There is nothing, there is certainly nothing like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. And Allah is all hearing and the one who sees all things with perfection. In the next verse to that it says لَهُ مَقَالِيدُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. So Allah belongs the treasure of the heavens and the earth. And then he said سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى that يَبْدُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَقْدِرُ. Allah opens the treasures of rizq to whomever He wills, وَيَقْدِرُ, and then He gives it only, He makes it only few, little, for others. إِنَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ. Certainly Allah is all-knowing of all things. He knows of. We discussed this verse yesterday in continuation of his explanations on Tawheedullah. The Sheikh said, وَنُؤْمِنُ بِأَنَّهُ. We also believe. From the very beginning we tried to explain what does it mean to say a Muslim has Iman in something. And we mentioned the deviations that the people had regarding what does Iman itself mean. What does it mean to say Amantu, I believe, before even talking about the articles in which the individual believes. So when the Sheikh said wa nu'minu, that is we affirm in our hearts. We believe, we attest to the truity of these articles right inside our subconscious, and then our tongue too affirm the truth of these. Our tongues affirm them, and then our limbs act upon the implications of these. We explain all of these to say that is the implication of saying, I believe. So the Shaykh said, Rahimahullah, وَنُؤْمِنُ بِأَنَّهُ. We believe that certainly, and then he cited a verse in the Quran in Surah Hud, where Allah said, مَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا وَيَعْلَمُ مُسْتَقَرَّهَا وَمُسْتَوْدَعَهَا كُلٌّ فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. In that verse Allah said, مَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ. There is not any daba on the surface of the earth. The daba is everything that walks on the surface of the earth. Maybe from the higher animals, as we will say, human beings, or the beast, the lower animal, or even the ant, as long as they move or creep on the surface of the earth, they are considered as from Dabbat. So Allah says, Ma min Dabbat, there is not any Dabbat, any creature on the surface of the earth that is moving, that is alive, illa Allah rizquha, except that Allah is the one that takes the responsibility of providing for that animal. There is not a creature on the surface of the earth except that the provision for that animal is with Allah. Whether that animal is able to move around to look for what it will eat or not, if we think that we are human beings, we are big enough, what about the time that we are in the womb of our mother? The times that we are not able to eat what we refer to as food. Yet, as we grew up in the womb, Allah was preparing the food that we will eat. When the child is in the womb of the mother, as the pregnancy evolves and grows, the food that this creature of Allah will eat at birth is also being prepared by Allah. On the day that the child is born, the food is ready to be eaten by that. So Allah is the one that provides for all. If you look at the little black ants that move that creep on the floor, you will see that it is Allah that provides for it. These animals don't know where markets are. They don't know anywhere. They are just moving on the surface of the earth. And yet Allah will provide for them. Those who study them, people will say they store food. Those little creatures creeping on the ground, they even have storage where they keep food for tomorrow. How did they find the food? They made some contract with MTA and NTT. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide them the food. When we were younger than this, in order to make us understand this matter properly, parents will say, look at the chameleon. Before the chameleon moves a limb, the ant will move limbs. Yes, the swiftness of the ant does not prevent the slow chameleon from having what it will eat. In fact, perhaps Allah provided a food different for the ant, another one for the slow chameleon. Even the animal that provides the cobweb, the spider, it provides for it. Sometimes it will go on making web that will pick an animal, and this animal will wait for it until it comes here to take a meal of it. Allah provides for everybody. And provisions are not limited to food and drink. They are also related to everything that the individual needs for life, amongst which is oxygen. Look at us. I've always ever stated this as an example. Why is it that it is the oxygen that goes through our nostrils when we breathe? And inside the same air, there is nitrogen. Okay, there is something what nitrogen forms. It's inside the air that we breathe. There is even the carbon monoxide that goes out of us, right in the air. Yet all of these do not come to us. What he rather did, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that he created other creatures that benefit from the carbon monoxide. While they release what we need, they release what we breathe in, and they take what we take, what we exhale, they take it for a means of survival. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for everybody. Ma min dabbatin, there is not any creeping creature on the surface of the earth. Illa Allahi rizquha, except that the provision for this animal is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we say Allah is Ar-Razzaq. We say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Razzaq, the one who provides for all. If you consider some birds that fly very high in the sky, and yet the food they eat are fishes that swim in the ocean, how do you correlate that a bird in the sky will have the ability to sight the fish it will take as meal in the ocean? And yet this bird will come down. Allah will make provision for it, such that its eyes will be able to locate what it wants to eat. And then it will be able to fly as fast as being able to pick what it will eat. And the precision will be that as swift as the fish in the water, this bird will pick this fish by the power of Allah. So, إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. Except no creature, there is not a creature we will think about, except that the provision for that creature is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The matter does not end at that. He said subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَيَعْلَمُ مُسْتَقَرَّهَا. That has to do with His being the provider, ultimate provider for all. He is Ar-Razzaq. This is from the aspect of the description about Him, the Sifat, that has a name, like we mentioned. That the matters regarding Allah's attributes are wider in their scope than the matters regarding Allah's name. With every name comes an attribute. So if He is Ar-Razzaq and He is Ar-Razzaq, if He mentions Himself as Ar-Razzaq, like He said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاق, we will understand along with that name that He has the attribute of providing for His creature. So likewise, when He mentions that He is the provider for His creature, إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا, then we know that He is Ar-Razzaq. But it is not every time that He describes something of Himself that He takes the name of that same thing, except there are also clear contexts that indicate that He subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken a name by what He described of Himself. I think this has come repeatedly. Like when we read Ayatul Kursi, we pick only five names: Allah, Al-Hayy, Al-Qayyum, and what? Al-Aliyy Al-Azim. Five names. But the sifat that are in this verse, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen identified 25 attributes, five names in a single verse of the Quran. So matters regarding sifat, the issues regarding them are wider in scope than those regarding al-Asma. So here Allah calls Himself, إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ, He describes Himself as the one who provides for every creature. So He is Ar-Razzaq, because He calls Himself what? Ar-Razzaq. He says, وَهُوَ يُطْعِمُ وَلَا يُطْعَمُ. He feeds and He is not fed. So He says, وَيَعْلَمُ مُسْتَقَرَّهَا. Allah knows where every creature will stay permanently. One of the ulama say this refers to Akhirah, because it says, وَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ دَارُ الْقَرَارِ, because Al-Jannah is the place of an everlasting stay, where we'll have istiqrar, where we stay and continue with that stay. Although some of that say no, it refers to this dunya, because it says, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرٌ. You have a stay on this earth. Even if it is a temporary stay, He says, I made the earth a place of stay for you. Whatever the case, wherever we stay and stay for some time or permanently, Allah is aware of that stay. So if it refers to the Akhirah, it means where every individual will end up, whether in Al-Jannah or in An-Nar, may Allah protect us, is something that is well known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَعْلَمُ مُسْتَقَرَّهَا وَمُسْتَوْدَعَهَا. So مُسْتَوْدَعَهَا, those who say مُسْتَقَرَّهَا refers to dunya, they say مُسْتَوْدَعَهَا refers to the womb. Because that is a place where you just stay temporarily and you move away. If you place something in the Muntada, it's temporarily only there. It will move away at any point in time. So they say that refers to the womb. He knows all about the child in the womb. We'll still come back to that in the next verse. He knows all about the child in the womb. And then he knows all about what will happen to that child when it comes to the earth. One way of understanding it. Our Mustawda, others say, no, this is this dunya. Because we are here in this dunya only temporarily. Allah knows for how long each of us will stay. So our stay here is temporary. So here will be Mustawda, the place of temporary stay for every creature. And Akhirah will be the place of permanent stay for everyone. It is Kullun, all of these that I have described, all for each of the creatures. If we are 6 billion, if we are 7 billion today, including those who are counting generations behind, and those who will come in subsequent generations, Allah knows for how long we will stay in the womb. He knows for how long we will stay on the earth, and He knows where the residence of each and every one of us will be on the day of Qiyamah. He's well aware of all this. So in the fourth part of the verse, it describes Allah providing for His creature. So we say it's Ar-Razzaq. Here it describes Allah's knowledge regarding the creature. So we take from that the matter regarding His knowledge. And we know that He called Himself what? Al-Alim. Allah is Al-Alim. He's well aware of all this. Al-Alim. Or Al-Khabir. The one who has in-depth knowledge, who is all aware of everything. We take that from these attributes of His that He described in this verse. It says, Kullun, for each creature, for everyone, He knows all of these about them. Not just that, fi kitabin mubin. These matters have been documented in a clear book, and that is His Lawh al-Mahfuz. It is documented clearly, in the clear book documented. So for everyone, His place is written. There are other reports from the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, and even verses of the Quran that indicate this. For everyone, His place is documented. His time is documented. Everything about Him is documented in this book. So this is what the Shaykh wants us to get from this. Fourthly is that Allah is what? Ar-Razzaq. Secondly is what? Allah is Al-Alim. And then He has a book. Allah has a book wherein He documents matter. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the next verse it says, وَنُؤْمِنُ بِأَنَّهُ We also believe that certainly عِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوْ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ وَلَا رَطْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ Allah said regarding Himself, what the Shaykh said, we also believe. So you will see from the uslub of this Shaykh, as we mentioned from the very beginning, he took about every expression he gives in this book, either from the Quran directly or from the Sunnah directly, in the entirety of this book, that is what you will find. Either direct quote from the Quran, even those he will leave out of quote, are direct quote from either from the Quran or from the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam. So it says, wa nu'minu bi annahu. We also believe that certainly Allah indahu mafatihul ghayb. Mafatihul ghayb, the keys. Ulama say it is mafatih, and there is an hand for the earth. This is called mafatih, the key. Come say that. Some say that. So Allah has mafatihul ghayb, the keys of the unseen. And as we explained earlier, the unseen are of two forms, al-nisbi and al-mutlaq, al-ghayb al-mutlaq. Ulama say this is what he refers to here. He says, innahu mafatihul ghayb. What I say, mafatihu means mabadi'u, the beginning, what brings about, what after which, what we will begin to find is unseen. So others say no, even if the key, if we say it is the key to the unseen, once you open the door, you begin unseen. So if it says mabadi'ul ghaib or mafatihul ghaib, their meanings are not far away from themselves. So Allah has mafatihul ghaib, and then we'll understand that it means Allah alone has it, no one else but Him. But what it should be is mafatihul ghaib indahu. This is very common in the matters of sifat. It should be mafatihul ghaib indahu. Because indahu is the khabar of mafatihul ghaib or mafatih. And ulama say, تقديم ما حقه التأخير. It has an ifada of al-haqq, to feed al-haqq. When what should be brought later is brought forward, it means this matter has to do with what he has mentioned alone. So when he says وَإِنَّهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ, and the secret or the keys to the unseen, what leads us into the unseen, Mabadi, what leads us into the unseen is with him alone and no one else. We must add that. وَإِنَّهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ, like he said in Zuma, أَلَّا لِلَّهِ الدِّينُ الْخَالِصُ. Things like this are very common in the Quran. It should be a deenul khalis lillah, if you want to come on an ibtida' and bring in its khabar with it. But it comes before to indicate that pure deen should be for Allah alone and no one else. So as you affirm that it is for Allah alone, you must negate that it must not be for anyone but who? Allah. So when he says, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ, and with Allah alone and no one else, this is the correct meaning of this verse. If you say وَإِنَّهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ, Allah alone has, or Allah has the beginning or the keys to the unseen, some other person can claim having it. Or you may be saying, not knowing, that it also refers to somebody else. But when he says وَإِنَّهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ, what the verse means that is that what leads the beginning, the key to the unseen, is with Allah alone and no one else. It says, لا يعلمها إلا هو. Ulama say this is tawkid for what has passed. Because what was mentioned is the same thing that is still mentioned, but he is giving it in another expression by way of affirming what he had said. وَإِنَّهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ, the keys to the unseen is with him and no one else. That means no one has it, no one knows it but him. And then he says again, لَا يَعْلَمُهَا, يعني لَا يَعْلَمُ مَفَاتِحَ الْغَيْبِ, no one knows the keys to these unseen except Allah. So it comes in two forms, different expressions, but affirming the same fact that unseen is not known to anyone but who? Allah. So if we say we must have this as our aqeedah, it means we have a long way to go. We have so many things to reorganize in our mind. When a woman wants to marry, the parents say bring the name of the girl and the name of her mother. And then some of the people believe, I have heard a sister saying that before, I will not go, but they will go for me. They are the same, they have the same ruling. A sister said that before, I will not go, but they will go for me. That is, she will not visit a sutra, but they will visit a sutra on her behalf, thinking that because it was done on her behalf, frees her of blame. But herself and the one who went on her behalf, they have the same ruling. They have the same blame. So no one knows the unseen. We are coming back to it. What then are those mafasikul ghayb? What are they? But it suffices to mention it in passing because the next verse explains these mafasikul ghayb. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam also explained an authentic hadith collected by Imam Muslim in his Sahih that these things are five in number. So we look at them one after the other from the verse of the Quran that comes after this. So he says, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ, the keys to unseen, those things that lead into the unseen, they are with Allah. لَا يَعْلَمُهَا, these things, no one knows them except Him. So he says, وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ, and Allah knows everything. مَا, it is from the aspect of generality. يَعْلَمُ مَا, Allah knows everything fil barri, on the earth. Everything on the earth. Everything that is on the earth, Allah knows. يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي barri. He knows everything on the earth. وَالْبَحْرِ, and He knows everything in the sea. Al-Bahr, in every sea. In all the seas, you, everything that is called a sea, Allah knows what is in it. At every level, at every depth, at every sub-depth, as they say, at every classification and stratification of the ocean, Allah is well aware of everything. Before now, when we were far younger, there are videos they make regarding, they call them sea life. You see how fishes and other animals go, they come, they go and forth. All of these. And those others that our cameras have still not been able to pick. 2 days ago or so, it was said that somebody in one of the countries bought a device that can go on the ocean and take pictures because they want to pick what they refer to as sea cows. They want to pick their pictures and be able to protect them in that area. Because they are already going in extinction. Those are the ones that we know. There are some amongst the ulama when they discuss the fiqh regarding the food inside the sea. Fortunately for us, everything that is in the sea, Allah makes it halal for us. So, in fact, we don't need to kill it. Even if it dies by itself. أُحِلَّ لَكُمْ صَيْدُ الْبَحْرِ وَطَعَامُهُ متاع لكم وللسيارة. He says, أحل لكم صيد البحر. All, everything that dies in the sea, I made it halal for you. Go on hunting in it. I make it halal. وطعامه. And all those flesh, things of food in it, in the sea, I make it halal for you. So even apart from the fishes, there are periwinkles, there are different kinds of them. If you have lived anywhere close by the sea, you know there are a lot of creatures. And that has led some of the ulama to believe that every creature you see on the earth, it has an equivalent in the sea. And Imam Muhammad al-Amin al-Shinkiti mentioned this in his Adwar al-Bayah, fi idah al-Quran bil-Quran, in his tafsir on Surah al-An'am, on those foods that Allah had made for halal for us. See, there is everything on the earth, you find its equivalent in the sea. So if you have a sea, a dog, there is what they call what? Sea dog. If you have a cow on the earth, there is what? Sea cow. If you have a horse on the earth, there is what they call what? Sea horse. So the question they discuss, is there in Sam al-Bahar, sea human? There are those amongst the ulama who stand with that basis, that too. Because everything you find on the earth, you can find it on the sea, so there will be creatures that are called what? Sea human. Allahu Akbar. That is still not confirmed with certain knowledge. But there are statements regarding it that it is not far-fetched that we can find what they call seeing humans, even though they may not look exactly like the human being. But you will have things with which, when you fight them, you can say they are not closer to anything on the earth except what human beings. So Allah says all the creatures on the earth. All of these that we have said, these are those we know, things we know, we are trying to expound them. What about those ones we do not know? وَمِمَّا لَا يَعْلَمُونَ Those ones that we do not know of the sea, and those ones that we do not know on the earth. And the sea is far, far wider than the earth, about 3 or 4 times the earth. That is, what you find on land, the size of the land, the sea is about 2 or 3 times larger than that. So most likely there will be far greater animals in the sea than on the earth. Allah says, I have knowledge of all of these. In the verse we read before, all these creatures too are fed by Allah. They are provided for by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحَرِ So he also describes his knowledge further. He says, وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ مَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ If he said, مَا تَسْقُطُ وَرَقَةٍ It is correct. You will be finding these kinds of expressions when you read matters of sifat. Tawqidat. In terms of generalization, or in terms of specifying something. It says, مَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ There is not any kind, fortunately, it has come in another form. Look at مَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ This وَرَقَةٍ is a nakira. And then it is preceded with what? Ma, that indicates a nafyu, a negation. Meaning that every waraqah, ma tasqutu min waraqah. So in two forms, he emphasizes the fact that there is not any leaf. There is not any leaf that falls. Ma tasqutu min waraqah. إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا Except that he knows it. مَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا Shortly before I came here, a brother opened it, a computer. On this computer, there were a lot of trees in it. But they are dried up, I think, because of the weather. So I began to imagine how many leaves will be on the trees of this screen. The ones on the screen alone. And we know the size of the screen. If we travel from here to a close by place, let's say Ibadan, you look on your right, you look on your left. This is just 135 kilometers. Let's go to Ibadan. 135 kilometers. When you look on your right, you see leaves. When you look on the left, you see leaves. Allah knows each of these leaves. Allah feeds each of these leaves. Or don't they feed? He has thought up that they feed. Don't leaves feed? Don't they drink water? Don't they move? Don't they reproduce their life? Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it will be difficult for us to imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why it is from the Aqidah al-Sunnah al-Jama'ah. Don't try to put an imagination of how he will look or be. The how of it. Don't try to do that. It will really be a thing. When he said, فَلَا تَزْرِبُوا لِلَّهِ الْأَمْثَالِ Do not place a similarity, a resemblance for Allah. It's like saying, do not go beyond bounds. Because you'll be trying to imagine something that is far beyond your memory. And Imam al-Muzan in his book, Sharh al-Sunnah, he says, وَقَطُرَ عَنْهُ فِطَمُ الْوَاقِفِ Regarding Allah, فِطَمُ الْوَاقِفِ the intelligence of those who describe things, قَطُرَ عَنْهُ They are too small to imagine, to think out attributes for Allah. So two things will come out of this. You will not ascribe to Allah except what he ascribes to himself. And you will not call him a name except the name he calls himself. And you will not describe anything regarding him except what he describes of himself. And you will not negate anything regarding him except what he describes of himself, or whatever will negate the attributes of perfection. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. I repeatedly said one thing, and the matter of Allah's attributes and his name. You behave like an old woman. Hope that is being shown the way. What will be making us understand where to go and stop? The text, the verses of the Quran, and the ahadith from the Prophet Muhammad. So these are, he wants us to know, have some knowledge of the vastness of his knowledge. But we will not be able to know it. So he says, وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. In one of the interpretations, we will not be able to know, have a knowledge of what he knows. Because that phrase has two explanations. وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ. We will not be able to have full comprehension of anything regarding the knowledge of his essence, the knowledge of him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ, except what he will. Whatever he tells us of himself, we know. وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ. We will not be able to have a comprehension of his knowledge, إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. In the first one, his essence. In the second one, his knowledge. So all of this in his knowledge, or what he's telling us about his knowledge, regarding his knowledge, he's just telling us some things. This is from the aspect of Masha'a. وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ. You will not comprehend any of his knowledge. إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. Except what he will. From amongst the things he wants us to know regarding his knowledge, that we can comprehend regarding this, his knowledge. إِخْوَى. Even comprehending that is a problem. Somebody has to be able to count the number of leaves from Lagos to Ibadan before we can talk about comprehension. How many leaves? Including the one he's marching on when he's counting those up. Number one. When you are counting the one up, the one down too, you must count them. Those ones he would have marched dead while trying to get into the wilderness must be counted too. So would we actually have a heart of the enemy? So إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ will be except as little as he makes us know. Which would be far little. Far little. How many kinds of fishes do we know as human beings? How many are fishes? They are kinds. And then their number as units of every kind. وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. So he draws us to be able to understand that لَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. So he says, وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ. There is not any leaf that falls. We are always struggling with the leaves between Lagos and Ibadan. Maybe we should cut the journey short between Lagos and Moe. Count the leaves left and right. So Lagos Ibadan, Lagos Oshogbo, Lagos Baro, Lagos Abuja, Lagos Kaduna. If you get to Kaduna, you want to go to Sokoto, you are starting a journey fresh. It's as if you want to travel from Lagos to Abuja again. If you are traveling from Kaduna to Yola, it's as if you want to start again. If you are traveling from Kaduna to Maiduguri, wallahi, it's as if you are starting from Lagos to Kaduna. Kaduna to Maiduguri or Kaduna to Yola is as far as Lagos to Kaduna. So on both sides. Or you pick the east. If you want to travel from Lagos to Calabar, you know how long it will take? or Lagos to Wari, or Wari for Campus, look left and right. You want to count the leaf, and you want to time when they fall. It's part of it. When the leaves is falling, the leaves are falling. For each of the areas you are looking at, the research you want to carry out. If we want to carry out this research, how many human beings will go on research? What about those ones that will fall when they fall asleep? وَلَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِنْ رِزْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. So he says, وَمَا تَسْكُتُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا. Allah knows all of these. He's just telling us what I know. I know this. These ones themselves are already blowing up our minds. So kind of what? If you want to put all these data in a database, how will it be? It says, وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ. A seed, in the darknesses of the earth, in geology they say strata. They say the earth has a core, cool? They say after the core it has a mantle up. And then after the mantle they say it has a crust. There are smaller divisions. So you go put it down. How is it? Allah says, I'm aware of it. Zulumat, in the darknesses of the earth. Allah is aware. Wala rakbin wala yabisin. La rakbin wala yabisin. There is no anything that is fresh. Somebody may say, oh, maybe he's talking about dry leaves. What about the fresh ones? Maybe when the leaves fall, okay, now Allah can be counting them. How will it be? This is a lowly mind. They say, okay, wala rakbin wala yabisin. The root of the anything that is corrupt is the one that is fresh. Something that is not dried, it's fresh. If it is a fruit, fresh fruit. If the leaf, fresh leaf. Whatever is fresh, Allah knows it all. Wala yabisin. So don't foreclose the dry one. He knows them too, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Illa fi kitabin mubin. And all of these are recorded in his book. They are all recorded in his book. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all of these also are ways to make us understand. So the level that you will understand that, ذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمْ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ. That is our Lord to whom belongs the sovereignty of the heavens and the earth. وَالَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِهِ مَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِنْ كُتْمِيرٍ. Those other things, because this matter, this verb that we have read, as it includes matters of Al-Asma' wa Sifat, it includes matters of Rububiyyah of Allah. Don't forget that from the Rububiyyah of Allah is the fact that Allah is the creator of all, Al-Khaliq, Al-Bari'. He is the originator of all. He is Al-Mudabbir. He is the disposer of the affairs of everyone. And so, from the aspect of, on the matter of Rububiyyah of Allah, Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, while we understand these matters, he is also Al-Qayyum. Because the affairs of all these things is described in the Al-Qayyum. Qayyumun bihi. Wa huwa yaqum alayh. He takes care of all of them. So as we understand from it, his name and his attributes, we are also picking what from it, from his rububiyyah. And like we said, ulama explained that rububiyyah is one of the adilla for uluhiyyah. The fact that Allah alone is taking charge of all these, is evidence that he alone and no one else should be worshipped. He's the one taking care of the leaves, the fishes in the river, the everything, the waters themselves, the rivers themselves. He takes care of them. The earth, and everything, those we can see, those we cannot see, he is in charge of them. So he tells us, worship me. So he alone should be worshipped. So these verses, they include matters of Allah's attributes. One. Two, they indicate Allah's rububiyyah. Three, they indicate that since all of these belong to him, no one deserves to be worshipped except who? Allah. So they will take from the three aspects of Tawheed. They will take from the matters of Allah's rububiyyah. They will take from the matters of what? Allah's rububiyyah, uluhiyyah. And then they will take from the aspect of what? Allah's name and his attributes. In the next verse that follows, as we said, that when he says, "Inna hu mafatihul ghayb," that the keys of the unseen are with him. He says, "Wa nu'minu bi anna Allah." We also believe that certainly Allah, indahu ilmu sa'ah. Like he said, indahu mafatihul ghayb. What did he say here? Indahu ilmu sa'ah. It's like saying ilmu sa'ah indahu. But that is not as restricting the knowledge of his to him as like saying indahu ilmu sa'ah. Ulama say you find this commonly, this kind of taqdeem and taqdeer, you find it commonly in the matter of sifat. Because as you affirm it regarding him, what do we do regarding others? We negate it. It is not for them. It is for Allah alone, it is for nobody. It is for Allah alone, it is for nobody. So here he says, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, Indahu al-Mustah. This is in Luqman Ko, the end verses of Luqman. Inna Allah indahu ilmu sa'ah. Certainly, indahu ilmu sa'ah. How would you explain indahu ilmu sa'ah? What would you say? Indahu ilmu sa'ah. How do you interpret it? The knowledge of the last hour belongs to him. Huh? The knowledge of the last hour belongs to him. Alone. And no one else. Don't forget. Indahu ilmu sa'ah, the knowledge of the last hour belongs to him alone. When Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam came to meet the Prophet Muhammad, in the hadith popularly named after Jibreel, because that hadith ulama refer to it as what? Hadith of Jibreel. Mutlaq. Because in Abwab Mawakit al-Salah, there is also hadith of Jibreel. The hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu in Book of Sunan, when Jibreel came on two occasions to teach the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the rest of us the time for salawat. That hadith is also called what? Hadith of Jibreel. But ulama will say fi bab al-mawaqit, yani awqat al-salah, the time for salah. If you say hadith of Jibreel, you are referring to the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. Abu Hurairah also reported the hadith radiallahu anhu. That is how Abdullah ibn Abbas also reported the hadith in the book of Sunan. That is hadith of Jibreel fi abwab al-mawaqit. But mutlaqan, they just say hadith of Jibreel. It does not refer to any other than the hadith of Jibreel when he came to ask three questions from the Prophet Muhammad. In one of them he said, "Akhbirni an sa'ah." Give me information regarding the last hour. In some riwayat of this hadith, he said, "Matas sa'ah." When he says, "Akhbirni an sa'ah," give me information regarding the last hour, we may think that he's asking, tell me those things that will happen on the Day of Judgment. So, but that riwayat of Matas sa'ah makes us understand that what Jibreel was saying alayhi salam was what? The time. But in the report that says Akhbirni al-Sa'ah, the answer of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the indicator to make us know that Jibreel was asking about what time. So both reports are authentic and they are established. Jibreel asked him alayhi salatu wa sallam, "Mata sa'ah?" And the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, "Mal mas'ulu anha." ما المسؤول عنها بأعلم من السائل. ما المسؤول عنها؟ The one that is being asked does not know. ما المسؤول عنها بأعلم. The one who is being asked does not know more than the sa'il, more than the one asking him. So if the one asking him does not know, the one who is asking, who is being asked, does not also know. So they both do not know. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salah said it. In his sharh of this hadith in Riyadh al-Salihin, he said this expression. He says, Sayyid Malaika does not know, Jibreel. He does not know when the last hour will be established. He says, Sayyid al-Bashar also does not know, the Prophet Muhammad. So he says, if anyone amongst the Bashar comes up to say that he knows, he is certainly a liar. There are those who claim that they know. I have seen and heard some people saying they know. Like some of the leaders of the Sufiya, especially some amongst the Tijaniya, they even give it a time. It will happen on social time, social days. It is from the evidence that they are what? The Jalul Kazabu. Imposters and liars. Because the Prophet Muhammad has made us understand that nobody will know. Nobody knows. Says, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ أَيَّانَ مُرْسَلُهَا. They would ask you about the last hour. This occurs in, there's one like this in Al-A'raf, apart from the one in Nazi'ah. Give us specifically, when is the last hour? Allah says, nobody knows it. In Taha, it says, أَكَادُ أُخْفِيهَا. I wouldn't know how my brother will explain this, أَكَادُ أُخْفِيهَا أَنْ. He's saying, أَكَادُ. Allah says, أَكَادُ أُخْفِيهَا. Allah knows the last hour when it will be established. But he keeps it so far away from every human being. Even with himself, he keeps it hidden. أَكَادُ أُخْفِيهَا. So, the last hour is not known by anyone. How specifically, with regards to every individual, what will happen to each of us, nobody knows. So you would see, if you now ask, how is this from Mr. Holgate? How does this become a key to the unseen? You know, once we cross the specifics of the last hour being established, we come into unseen, a lot of unseen. So it's like the key to that large unseen of the day of Qiyamah, the key to it is what? The last hour. Do we get this point? It says, وَإِنَّهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ. The precedence to unseen is with Allah. Or the key to unseen is with Allah. How are these things key? How is it that they begin an unseen? The last hour is the beginning of unseen. So nobody knows this last hour. Do we get how it is now a key? From the last hour, what will happen? Somebody can tell us, where will you be? Number what will you be amongst those who will clothe themselves? Which cloth will you be wearing when you wake up? There's hadith on that. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said every individual will be raised and dressed on the day of Qiyamah with the cloth he was wearing when he passed away. This hadith is authentic. The cloth he was wearing when he passed away. So that is if you are asking, when we stand up, we'll stand up naked, but we'll be dressed on later. So which dress will we wear? The one you are wearing when you passed away. May Allah make us pass away correctly and bless our end for us. This is how we will be. So try to be okay, try to be well dressed most of the time. As the situation indicates, if you are in the bedroom, be well dressed in the manner of the bedroom.
So, which cloth will you be wearing?
Would you know?
You will not be able to know because you will not know where you die. We'll come back to that.
The point here is the last hour is the key to a lot of things. Where will we be?
May Allah not put us in the fire.
We want Al-Jannah.
May Allah make us from amongst the people of Jannah.
But which part of Al-Jannah will you be?
Whatever you say now, you'll be saying it out of will and wish. Not because of a certain knowledge of where you will live.
Except those information that the messenger mentioned specifically about particular individuals.
If I ask you, from which door will you enter Al-Jannah?
You don't know.
But if I ask you, from which door will Abu Bakr ibn Siddiq enter Al-Jannah? You should know.
You see the difference now.
So this is a lot of verse on things. The key to this verse on things is with who?
Allah alone.
What is that key?
As-sa'ah.
It says, Inna Allah indahu ilmus-sa'ah.
First on things.
Because my father gave their five.
So we mentioned five of them in this verse.
The first one is As-sa'ah.
La ya'lamuha illa hu.
Nobody knows it except Allah.
إن الله عنده علم الساعة وينزل الغيب.
The rain, as we interpret that verse, it's a wrong interpretation.
Because not every rain is ghayb.
الغيب ما يرفع الله به الشدة عن الناس.
What by which Allah raises difficulty away from people.
When people are in difficulty,
there is death.
Or what do you call it?
When there is famine,
everywhere is dry,
or there is difficulty.
Breathing itself is difficult.
Sometimes when the temperatures are high,
breathing becomes very difficult.
And then people begin to become dehydrated.
In some countries, wherever you go, you see water everywhere. You need to pick some water to drink.
As you walk on the street,
government has provided salaja,
fridge,
refrigerators,
minor refrigerators,
water point.
So as you move around, you pick the water you drink,
you proceed.
In taxis, taxi drivers will be telling you, drink water.
Drink water.
They will be telling you, drink water. You need water.
And you will know that you need water really.
So in all of these difficulties,
when it rains and these difficulties are eased,
that is the rain that is called what?
Al-Ghayth.
Ulama said the rain that removes difficulty,
with which Allah removes difficulty.
The rain with which Allah grows plants in the sky, in the sun, in the earth.
The rain with which vegetation comes up on the ground.
Because sometimes it will rain and nothing will grow.
There was an authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim, the hadith of Abu Hurairah regarding that.
He said, it drought is not when there is absence of rain. He
said, the drought is that there is rain, but the plants are not growing.
Drought, famine.
It's not just when, there is no rain, everywhere is dry. No, that is not drought.
Drought is when there is rain, but the plants are not growing.
Then the people are in difficulty.
The rain that falls at this time is the rain that is referred to as what?
Rain.
He didn't say, Wayuna Zilu Limata.
Rain, any rain.
But rain, that is the one that makes things to happen.
So this rain, when it falls on the ground, the plants begin to grow.
So who can tell us?
For every stick of corn that comes from the ground, how many branches will it have?
How many grains of corn made will be attached to every, what do you call it?
What?
Corn?
Corn?
C-U-P?
C-O-P.
C-O-P. That's a policeman.
Is that the name of his car? still become. So how many, who can tell us that? When it begins to, that rain comes, and then it begins to. So the rain is an opening, or is a key to a lot of unseen. The number of plants that we grow, he alone knows. For how long those plants will be grown to be able to get harvest from them, he alone knows. Who will feed from that plant? Allah alone knows. Those amongst the grains of maize that Allah will make the birds to eat from, he alone knows. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of the grains that will be transported from one locality to another, he alone knows. Who will eat what, when, where, how, Allah alone knows. So the rain is like a key to a widespread what? Unseen and unknown. So this rain, Allah alone knows when it will fall. So don't ask me. And they say, Allah alone knows when rain falls. But climatologists and meteorologists now can study the time for this rain. They know the time for rain. They don't know the time for grace. They know the time that a rain will fall. But they don't know whether that rain will be what? Great. That's why in dua, salatul istisqa, ulama, they'll be shouting when they read in dua, they make dua. They say, Allahumma ajisna, Allahumma ajisna. Oh Allah, send us grace. Because it is the grace that will remove difficulty at the time by the power of Allah. So this is the second thing among the keys to the unseen. It is not that a rain will fall tomorrow. This grace, what will that rain bring about? Nobody knows. Some people say, oh, the rain will be of this capacity. When Allah wills, he makes it become a whole dark. And before they begin to evacuate their children and women and men, the destruction is of Allah alone knows. So al-ghayb is from mafatihul ghayb, from the things with which a lot of unknowns becomes from the unknown. He says, وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ. The third one. وَيَعْلَمُ, he said, when he said, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ, he said, مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ, they are five. They are five. He says, وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ. Allah alone knows what is in the womb. The children in the womb, Allah alone knows. So you can ask me, but they know that they can have male children. It says, ma fil arham, everything. Do they know everything? Do they know whether that child will be rich? Do they know for how long the child will live? Even if they try to postulate that, this child may not live for more than 6 months. It may live for shorter, and it may live for longer. By a day, by 2 days, by hours, different from what they mentioned. There are a lot of examples. Can they say whether this boy will be Shaqiyun or Fari? The Shaqiyun is the wretched one. O Lori Guruku, may Allah protect us. Can they say that? Can they say whether this child will be Fari? May Allah make us Suada. Can they say Oloyire? Can they say Omayi? Oloyire? Those people, when you put the child, you get the mother in the room where these tests are made. And then they come with radio, whatever. And then they measure it. There's a male child. I have a lot of examples. Even these ones that they make to know, their knowledge regarding them are not absolute. Or are they absolute? I have 2 cases. A woman was said to be preparing for a female child. She made it twice, 3 times. Shortly before delivery, she made it again. She said, again. The husband said, go and write it down. It's a boy. The day she started laboring, 1 finger. two fingers, three fingers. They were going to the hospital. The woman was telling the husband, don't forget that they say it's a girl. It was there that the quarrel started. The man said, don't try Allah with me. Allah will belie these people. This child will be a boy. Fortunately, the man is a man that goes into the labor room with his wife. When the head came out, the first thing the man thought was a hat. This head is the head of a boy. And when the rest part of the boy came out, the first thing he did was, madam, it's a boy. There are many examples. The final decisions of these things are with who? Wallahi Allah. A brother in England recently called and said that he found that the child will have Down syndrome. And something worse than Down, they just discovered recently. He said, and the pregnancy about 6-7 months. Should they abort the child? Say you would have killed a human being. You would have killed a human being. So we tried to talk to the brother, be patient, be this, be that. If Allah likes, when the child is born, Allah may take the life of the child himself. You not commit a murder. This brother said it's difficult, but because it is with respect to Allah, I will not disobey Allah. The brother carried on. That girl does not have that syndrome. Not in Nigeria. So I don't say, oh, Nigerian hospitals are inaccurate. It was in the UK. Recently, they showed me something regarding that girl. They even recorded a voice that I could hear the sound of the girl playing. And then she has a nurse that comes to visit her. The nurse is surprised at what kind of girl it is. So what I'm trying to say is that even in some of those things that they claim a knowledge of, the knowledge they have regarding them is not there absolute. And what Allah says is, the entirety of the knowledge of what is in the womb, I know it. The little ones that we are able to determine itself is not there absolute. And there are some that we cannot know at all. Like some of what we mentioned. Will the boy be rich? Is there a machine that can determine the richness of a child in the womb? Is there a machine that can determine whether this child will be wretched or successful? They don't know these ones, but Allah knows them. So the unseen is that when this child comes to the earth, he begins to live life. He goes to place. Can they say where and where this child will go to before the child dies? There is radio, they can study what is in the womb. But can they know how many houses, how many beds, how many people will carry the child when the child is born? Do they know? So all of these are from the unseen that the birth of that child will determine. So it's a key. What is in the womb is a key to a lot of unseen regarding that child and each and every one of us. So that's why the key to unseen regarding the child. And that was the case for each and every one of us till today. It was not possible for anybody, when we all were in the womb, none of us here in this hall, it was not possible for any genetic engineer to be able to know that today's date is the 26th or 27th of December, that you will be in Alausa. Those who want to claim knowledge of what the child in the womb is, let them tell us what that, where that child will be on a particular day, and let us see whether they will be liars or truthful. So all of these things are from the unseen. No one knows them except who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is number 3. Inna Allah indahu ilmusa wa yunazzilu al-ghayb wa ya'lamu ma fil ardh. Okay. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا. Not any soul knows مَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ again. All the souls, no one amongst us knows مَذَا تَكْسِبُ, what you will earn tomorrow. One of the ulama say he did not say مَذَا يَفْعَلُ وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَذَا تَفْعَلُ. He didn't say that. He said, succeed. What will it end tomorrow? Please, anybody who knows what it will end tomorrow should tell us. He now even said, even that here for Ali. We always only say that whether they will now happen truly or not is in the hands of Allah. How many times will a woman say, I will cook rice for you, my husband, tomorrow? Don't worry, I have bought all the condiments. I bought rice, I bought chicken, I bought green tea, chickpea, this, that. They are in the freezer waiting. And tomorrow will come, her father will send for her. Rashida, where are you? I mean, they have come now. She said, Abu, my father said that I should come. She will go to see her father and come back the next day. The following day that she said she will cook rice, what has happened to that rice? There are lots of things happening to us. Lots. In fact, in many of those things, my own experience is, the more I'm sure that I'll do something tomorrow, the more I may not do it. Personally. If I say, tomorrow, inshallah, inshallah, tomorrow. Immediately I start thinking that I have started again. And the more I say, well, if Allah will, and I really, really, really say, if Allah will, because I cannot determine to say I will actually do. Sincerely, I'm always able to do it. So he cautioned us. وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتَ. لَا تَقُولَنَّ, do not ever say regarding any matter, I will do it tomorrow. إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ, I'm going to do it tomorrow. God, إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءُ, except if Allah will. So when you want to say, I'll do something tomorrow, what should you say, inshallah, if Allah will? And don't forget, we mentioned something yesterday regarding the Mashi'a of Allah. The Mashi'a of Allah is connected to two things. What and what? It is connected to His knowledge, and it's also connected to what? His hikmah. So if you want to do it, and He does not allow you to do it, that is the best thing. Sometimes he will say he will not do it. And he is muqallibul qulub. How many times a woman will tell a man who comes to marry her, sister, I like to marry, say, no, a MCLA, me and this one, never. This is that. She will tell us. I've seen a sister like that. She even told me, Abu Hassan, one brother, like what Jack said, stop looking for me. I smile. She's in the brother's house now. She's in his house. And I was telling her, don't marry him. She said, Abu, if I don't marry him, who will I marry? I won't. Because yesterday, she was telling me that I should tell the brother to stop looking for her. She should stop. Allah is muqallibul qulub. So, ma tadri nafsun maza taqdim. Nobody can say for certain what it will end. These are regarding the matters of this dunya. Nobody can say tomorrow what it will end. How much of ibadah you will make tomorrow, you can't say. Because earnings are not only dunyawiyah. We are also earning in ukhrawiyah, matters of akhirah. We are not only earning here, ikhwah, as we go and talk. It is not only money for gari, for family that we earn. We also earn in the matters of So how many rewards did you earn for Salatul Zuhr or for Salatul Subih today? Do you know? How many rewards did you earn for Salatul Subih today? Do you know? Your zikr after Salatul Subih, how much reward was it that it was written for you? Do you know? Okay. Let's not talk about those that has not even been observed. So nobody can say yesterday, these are the number of rewards. Tomorrow, you can say, what if I'm in haram, and I know that for every salah, how many rewards do you have? 100,000. Go. Yani haram in Makkah. Somebody is in Masjid al-Haram in Makkah. He performed salah for 54 years of equivalent of rewards. Ulama says not even 54 years. Because it's ta'adil. It's equivalent to 100,000. It doesn't mean it is exactly it. So nobody can say, even in the matters of deen, how much reward will be written for him, or the other way around. How many sins will be written down for him? Does he know? One sin he committed, how much of sin or kilogram weight? Because our deeds will be weighed. How many weight? How weighty will our deeds be on the day of Qiyam? How weighty? What weight? What aspect of the weight of mizan will one sin be committed? How will it be in the mizan? We don't know. So all of these unknown, their beginning is what? Tomorrow. The knowledge of tomorrow. And tomorrow does not end only today. Tomorrow is never end until the man finds himself in the grave. So tomorrow. So nobody knows what he will end tomorrow. Many times people interpret this verse to mean do. It's more than doing. And when they say end, they usually make it to mean matters of dunya, even matters of nobody knows. And pulling this matter a bit further, tomorrow, Akhirah is also tomorrow regarding this dunya. So who can tell me that, look me, I will enter Al-Jannah? Who can say that wrong? If the person says it, you say, look here, you are also contradicting the Akhirah of who? Ahlul Sunnah. Because it is from the matters of grace. We don't know anybody for certain that will enter Al-Jannah, except those that Allah and His Messenger told us about. So and so will be in Al-Jannah. So and so will be in Al-Jannah. So and so will be in Al-Jannah. Also we can know. Other than that, we don't know. The Imam of Tahawi and others amongst the Aima, they say, Narju lahum al-khair. We hope good for them. And we fear for them. For their sins. How will it be? Will it overweigh the good? We don't know. So just be hopeful and prayerful. So فَلَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا. No soul at all knows what it will end tomorrow. That is number 4. The last one. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتٍ. مَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ. The same verse. Not any soul knows. The ayyi ardin, on which of the any of the parts of the earth, tamut, that it will depart the body. No soul knows where it will die. I give an example. Some people took off from Colombia, or from Brazil. They said they want to go and play a match in Colombia. Okay. Some people were told that you are not fit for this match. Stay behind. Some people were told, you are fit. Good fit. And then journalists, come on, the vehicle, the plane. And then it crashed somewhere they can never expect. Okay, yesterday, some people are singing songs. Kufar. No, they are flying a plane from somewhere around Moscow or within Syria or nearby, Allahu Alam, from where they took off. They are flying to Syria. What do they want to go and do? They want to go and think. And then the plane crashed. Would any of them have thought that location is where he will pass away? Nobody can say where he will pass away. مَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ. No soul, not any soul, can specify where on the earth that it will pass away. I'm going to die here. Even the Anbiya Rusul, they did not know. So that, but that's a general rule for them. It's in the hadith reported by Imam al-Bayhaqi in his Sunnah. And others, some of the ulama say the hadith is mutawatir. Like Imam Qadi Iyad in Al-Awasim min Al-Qawab. The Anbiya are buried wherever they died. Wherever they died. That does not include a specification of where they will land. Nobody knows. Where is it that any one of us will pass away? Except that we'll be begging Allah for husnul akhirah, good end. But where? On which point? When we were younger than this, we used to be told of vague stories, funny stories, that somebody wanted to die, the angel of death appeared to him. I want to die. So he ran to one country, not knowing that where he ran to was where. Things like this will be there. People will be scared of dying somewhere. They are preordained to die in that same hospital where they are running to, far away. Some people may not have traveled to those locations before. I remember in the university, one of our brothers, I don't think he has ever gone below the Niger. He never knew he was ill. So he traveled anywhere. At the time, I think Enugu. He got to Enugu camp. He was diagnosed for kidney melene. He thought he was going to die there. He wrote a letter to the rest of us on the camp. Oh, my friends, I'm going. All of you should come. We read that letter. Everybody was crying. So they found that he was going to die. They quickly moved him from the orientation camp. They were coming to Ibadan. He died on the road. He would never imagine that he would die where he died. A lot of examples. One president wanted to die, they fly him to Saudi Arabia. So do what in Saudi Arabia if his time has come. To seek for a cure, but because they don't know the time, and they don't know where, so nobody can specify this is where I will die. If you like, go and buy 10 plots of land and open a place specifically for yourself. If I die, put me here. You may die in a place they cannot assemble your corpse. May Allah protect you. So nobody knows except Allah. Nobody knows. These are the five things. We now ended it with something different. I mentioned something the ulama of Tafsir say regarding verses of the Quran. They always connected to themselves. Every verse, every part of a verse has a connection with itself. It says, Inna Allah alimun khabir. Allah alone is the one that knows. Allah alone is the one that is all aware. Alimun khabir. Inna Allah indahu ilmu sa'ah. Wa yunazzilu al-ghayth. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ. It is certainly the knowledge of all these things. This is Allah. And Allah alone. Allah alone. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows them long ago. Before he made up. Don't forget some of those things with which we understand Allah's attributes. And Imam al-Mubani said to us, he says, وَنَعْتُهُ وَصِفَاتُهُ كَامِلَاتٌ غَيْرُ مَخْلُوقَاتٌ دَائِمَاتٌ عَزَلِيَّاتٌ وَلَيْسَتْ بِمُحْدَثَاتٍ فَتَبِيدٍ وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّنَا نَاقِصًا فَيَزِيدٍ جَلَّتْ قُدْرَتُهُ عن شبه جلت صفاته عن شبه صفات المخلوقين. That is ليس كمثله شيء. جلت صفاته. The attributes of Allah are far away from being ascribed and compared to the attributes of human beings or his creatures. One of the poets say that ألم ترى أن السيف ينقص من قدره أو ينقص قدره. ألم تر أن السيف ينقص قدره. Do you not consider it appropriate أن السيف ينقص قدره, that the sword, you are demeaning that sword, you are belittling the sword, إذا كيل أن السيف أمضى من العصر. If you say this word is cut faster and better than a stick, you are insulting this word. ألم تر أن السيف يقص قدره. Do you not see that the stick, the sword, you are bringing it down, you are belittling its value. What is its value? What is its value? Cut, sword. Either the average Hausa will know this better than us. So when it's a sword, you are bringing it down. Either kila anna al-asa anna saifa am barmin al-asa. If you say, oh, this type, this sword costs better than a stick, you are comparing the two of them itself is deficiency for that sword. You are insulting the sword. So when a human being seeks to make a comparison between the creator and the created, you are ascribing deficiency to who? Allah. Because you cannot give a comparison between the perfect and the imperfect. The perfect and the intrinsically imperfect. So when you try to do that, you are ascribing imperfection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what ulama refer to as what a tamseel. And the ulama warned against making tamseel, trying to ascribe resemblance to Allah from the creature. It's evil. In many verses in the Quran, Allah prohibited us. I think after reading these verses, two major issues we had discussed. In the first one is the verse in Surah Hud, مَا مِنْ دَابَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا وَيَعْلَمُ مُسْتَقَرَّهَا وَمُسْتَوْدَعَهَا كُلٌّ فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. And then we came to the next verse that وَإِنَّهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوَ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا وَلَا رَطْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. And then he explained what مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ is. That إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْبَ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ. We should not leave without taking what Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen will refer to as fa'ida or fawa'id matlaqiyya, character related benefit. So how do these things affect the character of the individual? When Allah knows and Allah knows what is in the deep zulumatil bahar, Allah knows it. So what about those things you steal your room and try to do in the secret? Does Allah know it or not? Subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows it. Those things, those sites you browse on your phone, nobody is seeing you. Isn't Allah seeing you? Those sites you browse, those films you watch on your phone, doesn't Allah see you? Doesn't Allah know it? Isn't Allah that will write the reward, document these things, will be documented for you? Those angels that are following, are they not in Raqib and Atid? Those who in their attributes are Raqib and Atid, following you everywhere, they are Atid, they never make mistakes. Documenting all of what you do and say. Because many people do many things in the secret. Atagba Atomade. So be aware that Allah is well aware of them. He's well aware of every leaf that falls. Is well aware of everything that is hidden, anywhere it is hidden. So you in the room, you are seeing zulumat, is under darkness, things that are hidden under the darknesses of the earth, Allah knows them. In Luqman, he said darknesses of the sea. He said, Ya Atibi Allah, I will bring them out. May Allah forgive us all. Everybody should watch it. What you do in the secret, especially with the advent of these things we are all caring about now. People do so many things. You know, because with it, we are now busy with people rather than ourselves. I want to know what Brother is saying. I want to know what Brother Lagbaja is doing. So he do it quickly, quickly. Because people want to know. So people who are able to discern and understand that, people want to know what everybody is doing, they employ that to introduce some people to them. They call them now celebrities. So she bought one shoe for $1,000. The old one, they know she bought one shoe. What is the problem with you? What do you benefit when you know that one girl in Canada bought one shoe for even worse things are said now? Worse things are said. So people are busy with people. One woman is busy with other people. She's not busy with her husband. One brother is busy with other people. He's not busy with his own wife. He's busy with somebody else's family and other young little girls going about their own business. He's not busy with his own family. And he has wife and children. Because many women now complain that, oh, Abu doesn't have time for us. All we know that is broken. I know at least three marriages that this thing has destroyed. A brother was working where I live. He came to MTN here. He married one sister who almost memorized the entirety of the Quran. They are living their life. When he got a job with MTN, he left that place, he came here. So the wife said, oh, carry me along. Say, no, I can't carry you along. Carry me along, I can't carry you along. People started saying, ah, you have lost him. So next time he came, said, look, we are going together. I'm your band today. The sister followed the husband down. What she will notice is that in the night he comes late. And then when he comes, he's on the bed, resting his head on the pillow and then pressing. The marriage is broken now, as I speak, since last year or 2 years ago. Many examples like that. Some have not broken but have really, really gone down. All these things you do, Allah see you and knows you. Allah sees you, He knows you. And He takes record for them all. So if He's asking you on the day of Qiyamah, how did you spend your time? Say, I spent them browsing and chatting. Or what will you say? So this is a strong faida maslakiya, matter that has to do with our character that we benefit when we understand that Allah sees all things. He knows all things, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He hears all things. Somebody send the message and delete it. Delete what? It's already recorded that you have done it. About 2 weeks ago, a brother called me and said, I have problems with adult things. He said, do you know what you have to say? He said, yes. First of all, sign up for social media. I said, okay. When he said, I knew that he was a major player here. Day and night, laying down and a half. There are people who all the life, social media, they are learning Islam. They are malame, they are teachers, learned brothers in their community. They didn't pick their books and go to those learned people. It is Facebook they are waiting to get to learn in Akida al-Sunnah al-Jama'ah. So when they say, well, they were encouraging, try to be writing on the net so that they have a justification to stay on. Is it only what he writes as a learned person, inshallah, that you read? Or you read his own another? If it is own, his own alone, you don't have problems. But if it is his own that you use as a justification to remain upon what is bad, then you are deceiving nobody but yourself. So people should be aware, we all should be aware. Allah is all aware of all things. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Male and female. There is another case. The other one was of a brother. This case is of a sister. The other one was from where I live to this your town back. This case is from this your town to where I live now. A sister with three children. She was browsing. She's starting with one Abu somewhere. And the other one said, what is that? He said, no, please leave me. I have my chance. I have my life. What is over here, as they say. So the brother was watching. Started reporting her to people. People started calling her. Stop this. Nikobio. Stop this. Do this. She was passive. Until one day the husband said, today I must know who you are chatting with. And he found out that it's that brother. Another one supposed to be a reasonable person. With beard and the trouble. You see the trouble now. There is not a person that jokes with Shaitan, Shaitan does not bring down the flood. If you, I tell you, what did Allah say he did to our father Adam? In Torah, he said he brought Adam down. وَلَمْ نَجِدْ لَهُ عَزْمًا. Adam was not profound in his decision enough. Adam, what of you? Adam was Nabi. Some ulama even say he was Rasul, like an Imam Shankiti and other, and that's what I believe. He was sent to his family. So if you ask, who was he sent to? Shaitan brought him down. Since that time, Shaitan did not die, he's alive till today. Will he be experienced or not? So you now come and say, I can fight it, Shaitan. Another aspect regarding that, people say, oh, I can read anything. I'm intelligent enough to know what is good for me and what is bad for me. Wallah, if you read some things, you will go to Kufu. Because you will be confused because of insufficient knowledge. Not because what you are doing is wrong. But they will so confuse this matter. I know a sister like that. Medical doctor. She was Amira of an MSN. When she was in the university. Today she's a Christian. Today, and I speak today. This ability, I can read anything I like. Don't read anything you like. Even the early Muslims used to prevent people. Don't read just anything. Because when that lie and evil sticks to your mind, you may find it difficult to remove. So in the discussion, I was saying to her, I'm coming back to the sister in your town here. I said, how can Isa alayhi salam be God? Somebody who eats and drinks. Somebody who visited toilets. How can that be the one who created you? Somebody who was born. Before he was born, who was created? Or he was existing before he was born? I noticed that she's confused. So she now sent me the video she watched. Same thing. I won't tell you the name of the man so that you don't go and look for him and say, myself, I want to see. Don't see you. The man mentioned same thing why somebody should not be a Muslim. He's a Christian. A video. 10 reasons why he should not be a Muslim. Brothers and sisters in Islam, if you don't understand Islam very well, it will confuse you. Little things. Little answer. Common sense. With some good knowledge of Quran. That's all. So when she sent it to me, I watched them one by one. I now put my head on the pillow and say, okay. I now understand why this woman went astray. She did not have sufficient knowledge to be able to disinfect those viruses in those posts. There is no virus for Ebola now. So if you expose yourself to Ebola, you will die. May Allah protect us. So if you don't have the virus for those things, don't try it. Don't say I'm intelligent enough. Don't try that you're intelligent. May Allah protect us. The sister here was brassing. So the husband insisted, let me know what you are doing. So he now knew that person. He called the brother. Stop talking to my wife. Stop this. They ended the matter. What the woman did, she changed the name of the person. You understand what I mean? If it was a male name, I don't want to use somebody's name. She now changed the name to a female name to be able to continue. So if the husband gets it, you see that the name of a female. Women do it. Allah protects. ألم تر أن الله يعلم ما في السماوات وما في الأرض ما يكون من نجوى ثلاثة إلا هو رابعهم ولا خمسة إلا هو سادسهم ولا أدنى من ذلك ولا أكثر إلا هو معهم أينما كان ثم ينبئهم بما عملوا يوم القيامة
In a nutshell, dear brothers, that sister left the house of the brother. She's now married to that second person now, as I speak. So mind what you do. Be aware Allah knows all these things you do. He's well aware of them. You can't escape. So if evil, you will get only evil reward. And if good, there is nothing that Allah will reward you except good. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك
Please sit down. Please. I thought it was time for goal, but it's not goal yet.
Assalamu alaikum. If one commits a sin or is due to commit a sin, like stealing, women, please sit down. But make tawbah. The person repented unto Allah. After making tawbah, then your father, when admonishing you, says, if you ever steal, he will tell Allah not to forgive you. Please, what can be said about this? Well, nobody can say Allah will not forgive somebody. And nobody can say, yes, if you make tawbah and sin again, Allah will not accept the tawbah if you make tawbah again. So this is an absolute right of Allah, accepting tawbah. If the person makes tawbah and goes along with the conditions of tawbah, he will be forgiven. At that time the person is making the tawbah, one of the conditions is to decide not to go back to sin. He may be deciding, yes, I will never go back to sin. But maybe because of company, the person keeps male or female. He or she breaks this and then go back to sin again. If at the time of giving repentance, she decides or he decides, I will never go back again. Believe me, I will not go back. And. In fact, even she abandons or he abandons those they were together and that forced her to commit the sin, she abandons them and goes away from them. So, would anyone say Allah will not forgive the individual if he comes back again? Oh, I had been deceiving myself. Oh Allah, forgive me. Go back to it again. Allah will be forgiving you. But ulama advised against two things. Don't joy over this. Don't joy over having to break this oath of not going. Don't joy over it. Don't joy over it. Because the individual may fall into the sin hoping to seek repentance and then is not able to repent again. So the individual should make real efforts. From those efforts is leaving communities or leaving things that make the individual commit sins. Keep away from those things. The brother who was asking that he is used to adult film, say, look, do you have a TV? Say, no. Where do you watch it? On go and remove all the programs regarding that. If it is on a group you belong to, go and go out of the group. All of these things. And make sure you do a little. Perhaps go and buy a 1,000 naira phone. After all, there are billionaires in Nigeria using 1,000 naira phone.
to get 1,000 naira once that you can't connect to the internet. Although now, Allahu Alam, the world is so funny. About every phone now you can connect to the internet. So, but you do it deliberately by way of leaving sin and going away from sin. So these are very, very important. You must take steps to be able to go out of sin. She said, what if it's a case of dinner? The same thing applies. She must make sincere, or the individual must make sincere tawbah and return to Allah, and never to go back to it. If she has friends, girls or boys, these things usually come like this. Boys and girls, my friends, especially in Lagos. Some brothers and sisters, I always tell them, those of you in Lagos, you can't do without friends. Sister too, Abraham wants to marry there, Boko wants to for any, come on. Wants to for any, or any, all their own, or their friends. So if you must live that kind of a life, you must choose pious friends. What do you want quality? So that you will not get any advice except the truth. And what will benefit you from such a friend? So, she should keep away from everything that with it, she's able or he is able to commit that that thing. If you are somebody teaching women and you know you can't cope with men, leave women, go and look for brothers to teach. Things like this. May Allah protect us. What is the difference between Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah and Salafiyah? I took about a whole class to discuss this. One of the names of the Salafiyun is Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. A Salafi, this word, Salafi, Sinun Lamun Fafun and Yaun with a shutdown. It has two parts. The word Salafun, Sinun Lamun Fafun, one word. That Yaun itself, it has a job. It is called the particle of affiliation. So Salafi indicates a person that affiliates himself to Salafun. And what that person has done is nisbah. He made affiliation. One of the earliest books of Ansab is the book Al-Ansab by the Imam Abu Sa'd al-Sam'ani. Go to it. It is 5 volumes. When you come on that scene, Lamu Fab and Ya'un Salafi, he says, Huwa intisabun illa Salaf. It's not a yesterday sheikh. And Imam Abu Sa'd al-Sam'ani is the grandchild of Abu al-Muzaffar al-Sam'ani, who wrote Tafsir al-Qur'an al-Azim. Is his hafiz. He's a 5th century scholar of Islam. 5th century. He's saying that when you say you are Salafi, you are ascribing yourself to a Salafi. The Salaf. So the question is, who are these Salaf? The Salaf are those who came before us upon Islam. The question you can ask, who called them Salaf? The Tabi'un began to call the Sahaba Salaf. The Tabi'un, Maymun ibn Mihran, is very commonly known with this. He's a Tabi'in Jalil. He refers to some amongst his companions as Salaf. He was telling the people that Lauja Ahadun mina Salaf, if anyone amongst the Salaf, a Tabi'i, saying Salaf. Who is he referring to? Okay. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Fatima radiallahu anha that he must Salaf wa ana laki, a good Salaf I am for you. What did the Prophet mean? The Prophet said he is a Salaf regarding Fatima because he died before Fatima. So for Fatima, the Messenger is Salaf. For Omar, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq is his Salaf. For Uthman, Omar, and there are statements of these companions where when they are asked questions, they say, my Salaf did not do that. That is those who came before me. And Imam Muslim in the Muqaddimah of his Sahih, he is making judge of one of the people. He says, لِأَنَّهُ كَانَ يَصُبُّ السَّلَفِ. The man is majroosh. That is somebody considered non-trustworthy. What was the reason? لِأَنَّهُ يَصُبُّ السَّلَفِ. He abused, he used to abuse and criticize the companions and those after them who were upon their way. Imam Muslim, Sahih Muslim. People don't like this word now. Salafi, Salafi, they don't like it. Go to Sahih Muslim. In Sahih al-Bukhari, Al-Imam al-Bukhari made tabweed. And he was mentioning Salaf, Salaf, Salaf. So a person Salafi is being upon what those people were upon. In terms of aqidah, in terms of ibadah, in terms of akhlaq and mu'amalah and other things of life, like them. They are not today's scholars. We are talking about tabi'un now and those who came after them. So, the question you may now ask is, were we asked to be upon what the companions were upon? We say yes. So you ask me again, who tell us to be like that? Who asked us to be upon what the companions were upon? We say Allah and His Messenger. So you will come back to ask, are you sure Allah said we should be upon what the companions were upon? I say yes. So what is the next question? Where did Allah say, be like the companions? In Al-Baqarah. We read this verse to us. But let's pick the one in Yusuf. But the one in Baqarah is clearer. So let's start with that. And then Nisa. Surah to Nisa. We said the non-Muslims used to go to the companions of the Prophet Muhammad, asking him, tell your companions, come and be Christians, come and be Christians, come and be Jews. Be Jews, be Christians, Tahajjud, for you to be upon guidance. And Allah says, no, they are not upon that. They are upon what Ibrahim brought. The verse is lengthy, I read it. I'm paraphrasing it. قولوا آمنا بالله وما أنزل إلينا وما أنزل إلى إبراهيم وإسماعيل وإسحاق ويعقوب والأسباط وما أوتي موسى وعيسى وما أوتي النبيون من ربهم لا نفرق بين أحد منهم ونحن له مسلمون. Tell them this is what you are upon. Allah then says, فإن آمنوا بمثل ما آمنتم به. The people believe with the light of what you believe. Who are those who believed when the Quran was being revealed? آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون. Who are the مؤمنون here that this verse is referring to? Companions. The hadith of Prophet in Sahih Bukhari and in Sahih Muslim, the hadith of Abu Huraira. That in this portion of the Quran, when the companions were told, وَإِن تُبِدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبُكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. إِن تُبِدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ. Whether you express what you have in your domain, in your mind, out of school, or you keep it secret, يُحَاسِبُكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. Allah will still call you to account for it. The companion fell. فَيَغْفِرُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. So they went to the Messenger alayhi salatu wa sallam. Allah said, if we say something or we keep it, you still ask us for account. And then you punish whom you will, forgive whom you will. The Prophet said, yes, what do you have about that? Will you not say, we believe? سَمِعْنَا وَعَفَعْنَا. Okay, so what it means is that we should say Sami'na wa Ata'na. The Messenger says, pick a lesson from here. Whatever is being said in the matters of aqidah, whether you understand it or not, even in the matters of ibadah, from the text of Quran and the Sunnah, whether you understand it or not, believe it.
So when the companion says,
Messenger of Allah, whether we say or we keep it,
he will still have trust regarding it.
He said, he told them, will you not say, Samina wa atana, wa atana, we have heard and we obey? Allah says, wa qalu samina wa
ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir.
Allah is telling us what the companions said in response to his vow, as if they were in a conversation with him, subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And then later Allah reveals to the Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam that don't worry, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا لها ما وعليها ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا.
Okay, when we forget and don't hold us responsible.
Abu Huraira said, the Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah said, I agree, I give you. إن أخطأتم أو نسيتم كفرت, I'll forgive you. When you make error, or you forgetfully do something, I leave you. I will not hold you responsible.
So when he says, Aman al-Rasul, who is he talking about? The Messenger. The man who is like him, the Rabbi, he will move me, the companion.
So when he says, for in Amanu, if the people believe, the Muslima Aman tum bihi, in the lack of what you, the companions, believe.
This is from the Quran.
And there are other verses. The hadith is clear. In the hadith of iftirak, a brother was asking me yesterday, he said, is the hadith of iftirak authentic? I said, yes. Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentioned it authentic. Al-Imam ibn Kathir mentioned it authentic. Al-Imam al-Zahabi mentioned it authentic. Al-Hakim, many others. Sheikh Ahmad Shakir. Some of the ulama wrote entire books on the authenticity of this hadith. One of them was Sheikh Salim ibn Eid al-Hilali. He has a book, Dar al-Irtiyab, an hadith ma ana alayhi al-yawm wa ashab. Dar al-Irtiyab, removing any kind of doubt regarding the authenticity of the hadith, ma ana alayhi al-yawm wa ashab. In it, he mentioned all those amongst the ulama that he could gather who the hadith. Even that may be a complex. Let's go there a little bit. The problem people have about this hadith is a reporter called Abdul Rahman al-Ifriq. Some of the ulama hold him to be a weak reporter of hadith. But the matter is, firstly, the hadith has a lot of rules that it repeated came without this Abdul Rahman al-Ifriq. Secondly, people like Al-Imam al-Bukhari, Al-Imam Sihnun al-Maghribi and others, because Abu Rahman al-Ifriqi was a North African Muslim scholar, and others affirmed that this reporter is a trustworthy reporter. And some of the matters that have been said regarding him are not correct. They refuted them. Shaykh Ibn Adil Aynay, Ibn Adil Aynay, he had a tahqiq of Shaykh Sunan Ibn Majah by one of the A'imma. In the Muqaddimah of Hishar of Sunan Ibn Majah, he mentioned this matter as an issue that Abdul Rahman al-Ifriqi is sikotun. And the list of what we can say about him is that his ahadith are hasan. This hadith is authentic. So, apart from Sheikh Salim, one of the scholars recently also wrote a book. He called his own double in FCR. That is putting away any doubt. This one said, Daful Mira. Pushing away any kind of doubt and argument regarding the authenticity of this hadith. And one other from one other among the scholars of Mamlaka Arabiya who was verifying the hadith. This hadith is authentic. In it, the Prophet Muhammad, he said, I'll pick from 73. وَقَتَفْتَرِكُ أُمَّتِي أَلَى صَلَاتِ وَسَبْعِينَ فِرْقًا my Ummah will divide into 73. Kullu hafinat. All of them will go into the fire. All of the 73. Illa wahida. Except one of them. Let me quickly address the matter here. Going to the fire does not mean that they are all kuffar. How many a thing was it that the messenger mentioned that he mentioned regarding it going to fire? Does it mean that that person is a kafir? Like when he told Abdullah ibn Umar that ma akfala min al izari min al ka'bain fi an-nar. Al Imam Tirmidhi reported in his Shawai, whatever goes below the ankle will be in the fire. Does it mean that that person will be in the fire forever? So that it says it will be in the fire does not mean that they are kuffar and then they will be in the fire forever. Some young brothers now on the net, everywhere, is it everyone who is said to be in the fire and make a ferini? There are a lot of things. The one who steals earth, who steals a land not belonging to him, did he not say, alayhi salatu wa salam, that it will be tied on his neck in the, and he will be punished with it in the fire? The one who kills himself and others. The one who refuses to pay zakat. So saying that something is fire, fire does not, in fact, ulama say, one of the ways of recognizing kaba'ir is that Allah will mention along with it azabuna, major things. So we come back to another issue. Does it now mean that every major thing is kufur? The only major thing that is kufur is shirk, unless you bring in nifaq. Otherwise, these other things, they will count as major things. They are not patterns of kufur. They say, vidya akar. You say, okay, not every vidya itself is kufur. Al-Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, when he was classifying bid'ah in his book Al-I'tikad, he was mentioning that there are some of the bid'ah that some of the ulama, that the ulama bi'ittifaq agree that they are not kufur. He mentioned a class of innovation and said that these innovations, the ulama agreed that it's not kufur. Shaykh Muhammad ibn Sa'id Raslan, he has a book, Ar-Ru'a' al-Mubadda'una min Rijal Kutub al-Sitta, four volumes. Ar-Ru'a' al-Mubadda'una min Rijal Kutub al-Sitta, reporters who are ascribed to innovation. Among those who were mentioned in the sixth book, Bukhari Muslim, and the four books of Sunnah, the question we pay to those people, if every bid'ah is kufr, should it be that there are some reporters who participated in some forms of innovation, and yet ulama still accept their ahadith? There are some of them in Bukhari and Muslim. Many. Bukhari Muslim. A woman, Karima As-Sudani, that's her name. Karima As-Sudani. These books, you can go and look for them. Karima As-Sudani, she has a book, Manhaj al-Imam al-Bukhari, Fir Riwayati anil Mubtadi'in. The methodology, the approach of al-Imam al-Bukhari on how he collected reports from those who are ascribed to bid'ah. If every bid'ah is kufr, then we should not be reporting hadith from them because they are kuffar. Not every bid'ah makes a person who is, even if that bid'ah has to do with some aspect of aqidah. The problem with some of these young brothers is that is the blunt truth. If we want to be blunt, the knowledge is too small to be saying what they are saying. In fact, Sheikh Maslan in his book was saying that this bid'ah, that bid'ah has two forms, al-kufriya, al-mukaffira, and gayru mukaffira. He said this bid'ah. Sheikh Maslan ibn Taymiyyah, in the third volume of Al-Majmu' in his fatawa, he was explaining from people who were ascribed to bid'ah. Al-Qadariya have two forms of Qadariya. There are those that are called Al-Qadariyatul Ula, those who rejected the first two categories of Qadar. They rejected the fact that Allah has full knowledge of all things. All of what we are describing about Allah, they don't believe in them. They don't also believe that Allah has a record of all of these things. The reason we have to be detailed about this response is that this is a serious matter. Perhaps we'll stop at it. But let me learn, please. Oh, we should stop? So they reject the first two aspects of Qadr. Amongst them was the man called Ma'bad al-Juhr. Al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentioned him in his book Al-Iman, that these people are kuffar. They innovated this belief in Qadr. So they clearly stated that these people, not Muslims, kafir anyone. But they are mutaakhirun amongst the Qadariya. Those who only reject Al-Mashi'ah and Al-Khalq. Al-Mashi'ah, they reject Allah's will. And the will of the individual. That the individual has a will. They reject those ones. And then they reject the fact that both the actor and his actions are created by Allah. Ibn Taymiyyah and Kitab al-Iman, he said the ulama did not refer to these ones as kuffar. Al-Imam ibn al-Qayyim, he was mentioning that even among some of those you will see with some of these people who have been as kufriya, not all of them will be declared as kuffar. Because some of them are just being follow, they don't know anything. So they have the excuse of ignorance. Don't ask me, particularly, I'm talking about Ibn al-Qayyim, so don't bring your... The problem is that these matters are matters regarding which ulama speak. So when the Ruwaydiwak begin to talk about them, they are the fitna. Let me end with this statement. Sheikh Mukmil Al-Wadi, I've listened to it and I have a book which is contained. What I want to say now. He was asked, Sheikh Mukmil Al-Wadi Abu Abdurrahman, Ash-Shami, Imam Ahl-Sham. Sheikh Mukmil, ulama call him Imam Ahl-Sham. He works in it. He has passed away. He was asked that, when are we going to rise up against Muslim leaders who are not operating Sharia? Sheikh Mufti was asked, when will the Ummah rise up in insurgents against Muslim leaders who are not acting upon Sharia? You know what he said? He said, هَذِهِ مَسْأَلَةٌ دَقِيقَةٌ عَظِيمَةٌ. This is a very serious, great, big matter you are bringing to me. وَلَا أُجِيبُ وَمِثْلِهَا. I will not give a response regarding this kind of a matter. اذهبوا الى الالباني وابن باز. Go to Albania and Ibn Baz. They are the ones who can answer questions. Me, I don't talk about so much like that. Young boys now want to be talking about Bidia is kufur, Bidia is not kufur. He does not know how to write his name in Arabic. He's the one who wants to say kufur, Bidia, kullu, Bidia. Are you the one to now teach the ulama the meaning of kullu? A kullu, kullu, kullu. Is every kullu kullu? Not every kullu means kullu. A kullu kulli kullu? Is every kullu kullu? Let us give us one example. Kullu does not mean kullu of everything at every time. Even though here kullu bidati means kullu. But kullu may not mean kullu at all times. Hey, one verse here, تدمر كل شيء بأمر ربها فأصبحوا لا يرى إلا مساكنه.
The point we are making here is these matters are big matters that small, small boys are talking about. Please, people should learn to avoid this topic. Somebody called me less than a week ago. My name is Sofoso Mumpe Lati Ilori. When you hear the call for Ilori, you know there's a fitna. The reason I look back, he's always telling me this whenever we met. You see, Abuna Tratina, the young people are talking about big, big matter. This is Sheikh Abdurrahman Imam. He graduated from the Jamia Islamiyah in Medina about 15 or 16 years from now. And he lived in Medina for over 12 years. May Allah help us preserve him. When he was in Medina, I always go to his house. He used to tell me that he hardly missed a salah in the Masjid al-Nabawi, except he travels out of Medina. And he read Ilm al-Hadith. When I was talking the other time, I was shivering. Because there are people who handle this field very well. And Allah blessed him. One of the hajj he made was with Sheikh Abdul Aziz bin Baz. From the beginning of that hajj to the end of the hajj, he was telling me that sometimes he will take the shoes of the sheikh and follow him everywhere he went. At the time, he was a student at Jamia al-Islamiyah in Medina. And as much as we know, it's the person who upholds Sunnah, inshallah. Wala uzakihi Allah. So he will always say, Abuna, to your people, these young people, they are always talking about big, big matters. I say it is true. And then he's from Ilori. So when I was saying, may Allah protect us, the brother said, is it every video that is so? No. He said, Bao lo te kama bao ni bidi asena. I said, what do you mean? He said, Katif, what I'm saying is that he said he was amongst the Qadiriya. He was a Qadiri, Sufi. He said, but now he has now known Sunnah. I would have asked him, how did you know the Sunnah? Did you learn the Sunnah from anybody? Because if you learn the Sunnah from anybody and you are sitting in front of him, that person should run away from you. Based on your Aqidah, that every person of Bid'ah must not speak with every person of Sunnah. But I left that. So he came. So tell me how to deal with people of Bid'ah. I say, I can't tell you over the telephone. He said, summarize it for me. That's why I said, summarize it. So you summarize it. I said, I can't summarize it. These things are learned over the years. These are not matters of 1 + 1 = 2. But these are the matters have been reduced into 1 + 1 = 2. May Allah protect us. It's a very, very big, it's a serious problem. It's a very serious problem. And you have seen how facade is spreading on the surface of the earth. This question was, what is the difference between Salafiyun and Ahlus Sunnah al-Jama'ah? You would understand that the word Salaf or Salafiyun, they are the same people as what? Ahlus Sunnah al-Jama'ah. The Sunnah is following the Prophet. The Jama'ah are the companions. So it's like saying Ahlul Rasuli wa Ashabihi. In that hadith, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam said, Kulluha finna, they will all be in the fire, except one. They asked him alayhi salatu wasalam, Ma hiya ya Rasulallah. What is that one sect that will not be in the fire? It says, Man kana ala ma ana alayhi al-yawm. Whoever is upon what I am upon today, what? And my companion. So his companions are the Jama'ah with him. So Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, there are people now who hold firmly to the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, together with the companion. So our Imam, if you ask, Ta'ala mimi anabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that is why we also say, when you begin to fragment the Muslim, you will be causing more problems. This is the name Allah called us. The Messenger called us. In that hadith, he mentioned hadith of Ta'ifatu Mansura.
عند علماء الإمام أحمد بن حنبل. He says, إن لم يكونوا أهل الحديث فلا أدري من هم. If not أهل الحديث, I don't know who they are. الإمام علي بن المديني also mentioned it. الإمام ابن مبارك also mentioned it. الإمام البخاري also mentioned it. Okay, so because of that, they are also called أهل الحديث والأثر. حديث سنة أثر صحابة. Because these are the people that Allah says we should follow, so we say Etela Nabi Atisabe. This is the meaning of Ahlu Sunnah al-Jama'ah and Salafiyah. Sahabe Adi Salaf. So when you say Salafiyah, I am upon what the companions are upon. This language, this word does not have problem. Except to the people of ignorance and desire. May Allah protect us. I think it will suffice for me to stop here. So that we go for the last we go for. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.